Hello and welcome to StarCast from Planet Waves. My name is Eric Francis Coppolino, the host of Planet Waves FM and the author of the Planet Waves Horoscope. Tonight's edition is for Tuesday, the 19th of April, 2022. And I will be covering the sun's transit through the sun sign Taurus for the next month or so. I've been doing the charts today for the monthly horoscope for May, which I am about to write tonight and tomorrow, planning to have that distributed to our subscribers on Thursday night, approximately, if the writing gods are smiling upon me and if all goes well. Just a reminder, my long-published horoscopes are now a subscriber service, so you'll need to be at least a core community member to read them. If you need a promo code, just write to us at cs@planetwaves.net. We are not trying to exploit anyone here by charging for horoscopes, only to make sure that we are still able to do that, and Planet Waves has very generous discount policies, so please take us up on that if you'd like to listen and read and support us as well. Okay, so my take on the sun's transit through Taurus is that there are a few dominant themes. And one of them is that the love and the pleasure and the ability to explore your feelings and get all the benefits of being human are to an extent preconditioned on being able to deal with the aspects of one's psyche that are usually swept under the rug, or that, you know, most people aren't really interested in addressing. And so that's why they are typically left behind or ignored, and then the problems build up, and then it becomes difficult to have positive and loving experiences. One of the most meaningful, I think, aspects that happens through all of this really unusual journey of the sun through Taurus happens today, happens just at the time that the sun enters Taurus, and it involves the ruling planet of Taurus, which is Venus. And at the time the sun ingresses Taurus, Venus is in a conjunction to the third centaur, and that is Nessus. Now, when you hear me say the word centaur, I would suggest you immediately say to yourself, not an asteroid. This is not an asteroid. I'm not saying that some things are better than others or something like that, but what I am saying is that the centaurs have typically very long orbital periods. They are slow. They are very influential for their size. They're as influential as any massive planet, but we can't, you know, something like Mars or Jupiter or something, but often we don't tune in to their wavelength because they either are subtle or they are addressing subject matter that most people would rather avoid. However, it becomes inevitable that we will experience that stuff, sometimes called shadow material, one way or the other when an inner planet jumps into the mix. And we begin the sun's transit of Taurus with an exact conjunction of Venus, the ruler of Taurus, and Nessus. So this is, you know, this is shouting for attention in a way. It's saying, all right, what is underneath that? What I'm thinking of as basically the kind of precondition to actually having the benefits of Venus, whether that's the prosperity, the love, the relational ability, the emotional intelligence, the sense of appropriateness and values, all of the things that come with Venus when she is working well, are now being filtered through Taurus, through Nessus, right at the time of this ingress, essentially blending entirely the qualities of Nessus and of Venus. So when we talk about Venus, that is a kind of tap on the shoulder to female people to pay special note about you, and also to male people to pay attention to what is going on with the women and their environment. And then also there is obviously, depending on the degree to which men have integrated their inner woman, the Venus conjunction to Nessus, or any conjunction involving Venus for that matter, will be more likely to apply directly to them rather than to be projected outward onto someone else in their environment. So the issues around Nessus are all of the usual kind of things that people struggle with in terms of guilt and shame and the consequences of past actions, bad decisions made in the past, and also any unrepentant unrepentant hindsight over things that one has done that have injured someone emotionally, but mainly as an intentional act, not so much as an accidental act, but things like seeking revenge, things like attempting to get control over another person, setting off chains of events that are going to come back to people or haunt them for a long time, the intentional betrayal of trust. All of these things are related to Nessus, and as I speak, Venus is in a conjunction to Nessus. So this is calling for my personal favorite step in the program, the fearless and searching moral inventory. It's also an invitation to consider any of the ways in which we have been hurt, whoever that might be, whoever might have been hurt by the actions of others, and then the problem of carrying around that injury or sense of injury without making a real effort to look at it, to resolve it, to be open and honest about it, to consider what it really means. We do a tremendous amount of avoidance in our culture. We do a tremendous amount of ignoring things and hoping that they go away. We do all kinds of calisthenics, like involving changing the rules and making up stories, all of this to avoid either a sense of injury or having injured others intentionally. Now, regarding the guilt and shame issue, there are a number of things that are pointing to this, and one of them is the alignment of Venus and Nessus right now. And another one is an event that's been long in developing and is exact on May 7th, right around the time of Beltane, which happens during Taurus season, and I'll come around to that. And that is the conjunction of Vesta to Aquarius. So Vesta is another one of these, let's say, astrological features that, taken one way, has a great deal to do with the processing of guilt and shame. And those things have a kind of a sheen or more mild aspect in the form of embarrassment. But embarrassment is a tremendously powerful influence because it creates a situation where there is an enormous amount of avoidance that is used to prevent the feeling of embarrassment from coming up. And a lot of that involves self-denial, the refusal to express oneself or to be honest with others, to show who one is. And remember that this is going on, this Vesta conjunction to Saturn is going on in Aquarius, where the individual meets the collective. And one of the themes of the past 2 years that Saturn has been making its way across Aquarius is an almost obsessive degree of shaming people into conformity. Essentially saying to them that if you don't do this, you must feel very bad about yourself and you will be shunned by the rest of us. We will shun you. We will keep you away. And there has been so much of this the past few years, done so casually, whether it's in media outlets, whether it's people speaking to each other, whether it's cast as some kind of a political mission or a medical mission. And to me personally, as someone who has been deeply involved in all facets of what has been going on the past 2 years, going back to, you know, early 2020, this has been the most painful thing that I have personally witnessed and felt, which is the effects of people getting cast off, the constant attempt to cast people off and make them feel terrible. And I'm saying that this is not healthy. It is not growth-oriented conduct. It has nothing to do with self-actualization. And none of the promised benefits work. All it is about is making this false equation of making people feel bad so that you don't need to feel bad. That doesn't work. That is not about integrating one's own personal material. Okay, so with that in mind, we've got these two aspects. Remember, Venus conjunct Nessus happening now, then we're working up to Vesta conjunct Saturn. Vesta moving very slowly through Aquarius, still 2 degrees out from Saturn, giving us plenty of time to think about and contemplate and make some decisions about what we really want in that place where the individual meets the collective. And I would urge extreme caution anytime there is some dictate being made or some pronouncement being made about how the actions of an individual, including their beliefs, have anything to do with their being a bad person, their acting to the detriment of society. I think there's a lot of people who really need to grow a thicker skin. Another thing that is working its way into existence, we say full formation or perfection, depending on the astrological lingo that you use, is the asteroid Sappho conjunct Sedna. It's going on in late Taurus. I think it's going on in the last degree, Sedna, next to last degree. And here is something about the bonding between women and the way that it has essentially been, well, I don't quite know what word to use, but the word cheapened comes to mind by a bunch of rules and this tendency to exclude people. And so what we get with Sappho conjunct Sedna is a deepening and a conscious choice to be empathic in times of gathering and also to be respectful toward one another about how important it is to get together and to allow people to be who they are when they get together. To check your judgments at the door. Or at least do your best to look past them. Remember that no person is actually capable of judging another person. This is why judgment is futile. Only God judges and does not judge in the way that people judge. And so this is the kind of sham of judgment and the sham of exclusion. All right. So what I didn't say at the beginning of all of this, if you're still interested, because I am concerned about what is happening in the world, and aspire to use astrology as a tool to deal with the chaos and kind of focus our healing process. There's a heck of a lot going on in Taurus. There are, at the time of the new moon, 21 points in Taurus. These are a combination of planets, asteroids, luminaries, the lunar node. And I'm not seeing any hypothetical planets in there, so that's nice. But then a diversity of minor planets, including things way out in the Kuiper Belt. And while all this is going on, the sun is going to basically make a conjunction to 18 or so different things as it moves through Taurus for the next month. So we're going to get a taste of these things being amplified by the power of the sun each time the sun makes a conjunction to one of them. And there's a lot of very, very interesting stuff that is going to happen. But at the time of the new moon, and that is on the 30th, you may find yourself in totally new territory if you're willing to do some of the personal work that my reading of the planets is saying that we need to do. And the personal work is embodied, emotional, healing-related stuff. And one of the challenges of that, well, there's several major challenges. One is thinking that to approach the topic of embodied emotional healing at all, one must solve everything in one go. And I've never found it to be that way. I have found, though, that one helpful or, let's say, productive gesture or effort leads gently to the next. And you know, you don't have to, devour the whole thing at once or solve all your problems or the whole crisis. But if you make an effort to unstick one little thing, have one conversation that you need to have, to be honest with yourself about something purely internally, that facilitates the next step. And of course, the challenge with that is, and many people do have this daunting fear, if I acknowledge that, then I'm going to have to acknowledge everything or the next thing, and the next thing, and the next thing. And this can lead people to not be so interested in anything involving their own personal healing, because they may feel that their problems are, you know, way too daunting to even begin to think about solving. If they haven't worked to resolve all of the things that they have accumulated over the years by now, however are they going to do it? But there's always some miracle involved in healing. And what I have seen is that if you make the first move, if you make the first move with sincerity and with intention, providence will move toward you as well. Now, there's another issue that comes up, and it comes up and I hadn't noticed this was happening until I gave the planets a very careful look, using a sort everything in each sign type of alignment a little bit earlier today. And one of the most interesting things happening right now is a conjunction of two slow-moving points that have been moving very close together in early Capricorn. And these two slow-moving points are Pholus, the second centaur, sorry, not an asteroid, and Quaoar. Again, not an asteroid, but a thing way out in the Kuiper Belt. So that's a Pluto-like planet. It has that, that depth of Pluto and the ancient quality of things related to Pluto. And like many of these distant points, a multi-generational quality. In fact, I have read this aspect many times over the past couple of years because it's just so interesting to have, get this, Pholus, a centaur that takes us back about four generations. So it's me plus three is Pholus. So Pholus takes you back to your great-grandparents, generation. And when addressing issues around Pholus, let's say you see it come up in a scenario, one of the ways to map it out is to go back three generations and see what was going on for your grandparents and your great grandparents, consider how they might have addressed a certain problem. This is conjunct quasar. Now, quasar also is multi-generational, but it is all the way back to the origins of the tribe or the origins of humanity. So while Pholus takes us back three plus me generations, quasar takes us all the way back to the beginning when the ancient, in this myth, the ancient grandfather starts dancing, and he dances ancient grandmother into existence, and ancient grandma and grandpa become the co-creators of the universe, and the dance is done with bells and rattles, and slowly they dance all the gods and goddesses into existence. And my cautionary note here is that when you think that you're addressing material that is purely personal, I would suggest considering that at least three quarters of it is multi-generational material passed along to you. It is what you might think of as ancestral baggage. And so if you can remember that and you can at least consider what happened in the past and how the challenges of the past left unresolved are passed down to the present, and the unresolved struggles and pain passed down to the present are kind of like this inheritance that we don't really deserve, but which is a natural consequence of humanity living in such a way that it is that no one's really taking responsibility and the buck is not actually stopping with anyone. And so the only way for the buck to stop is that the buck has to stop with you when that time comes. Now, apropos of that, I'll just mention the centaur. Nessus is going to be taking a conjunction from Mars eventually. That's going to take a while to shape up because Mars is still moving very slowly. So we're looking at that happening into May. Now, meanwhile, assuming we successfully do some of this and may at least make a commitment to pausing, causing additional emotional damage to ourselves and to others, and to look at what might have been done, and to be honest, and to reach out for a little bit of reconciliation or clarification, giving yourself the permission to have an honest conversation with people that you consider intimate, there's all kinds of amazing stuff happening. There is a world of healing that opens up with the new moon conjunct a point called Albion, formerly called 1992 QB1, which is about making contact with something central and beautiful to our humanity and giving people the space to be themselves in all of the most sensitive facets of life. And then at the time of the new moon, there is also an exact conjunction of Venus and Jupiter in Pisces, what the ancient astrologers called the lesser benefic Venus and the greater benefic Jupiter, are forming a conjunction in a sign where both of these planets are very well dignified, and they make a beautiful sextile aspect to Pluto making its way through late Capricorn. So there's lots to look forward to, but there just seem to be these steps that it's necessary to take, and the most important one of these is being real with yourself, doing what you can to get your thinking out of abstract mode, stay as close to the earth as you possibly can, particularly around Beltane season, and if there's something troubling you, be real with yourself about what that is. All right, that is what I have to say to you today. I'm not sure that I'm going to do another StarCast this week. It is possible. It would be after I complete the extended monthly horoscope for May, what I've been reading to you are some of the notes that I have based on the charts that I've been working on this afternoon, looking at a great diversity of planets that I personally read on a website called serenu.com, S-E-R-E-N-N-U.com, this wonderful advanced astrological resource that also has some very basic functions. It can help you locate, for example, any asteroid or minor planet in your chart and that kind of thing. All right, well, listen, thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening. You will hear from me next if you're on the Planet Waves mailing list with the announcement that the monthly horoscope is continued. And I would remind all of the folks who, you know, come along and avail yourselves of the things that we offer without requiring a password or registration to be polite. And if you can afford to take advantage of our services or to make a monthly to have a core community membership or to make a monthly donation to our charity, ChironReturn.org, also available at planetwaves.fm. Please do so. It is the people who are our customers and our subscribers who make it possible for me to do this work. So thank you to all of you who are our long-term loyal and new loyal members and subscribers. Thank you for listening, and I'll catch you a little bit later in the week. Signing off from a chilly spring day, chilly kind of high overcast spring day here in Kingston, New York on 19th April with the sun in the very last arc minutes. Not quite the very last, but very close to the end of Aries at 3:49 p.m. My name's Eric Francis. Thanks for listening, and bye for now.